Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here today on Workshop Wednesdays, as I am every Wednesday. I'm just excited to be able to be a part of this weekly show that I do here to bring people on to help them show others how they can improve their process in their journey in life, okay, whether it's in business, if it's in self, and we all know that everything starts from inside us. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and, you know, I can blame whoever I think I want to blame for whatever doesn't go right, but at the end of the day, I always say that we're right where we chose to be by the choices that we've made. The good news on that is we can make better choices, especially if we tune into shows like this or take the opportunity to get self-help by getting someone that you can work with that will hold you accountable to get out of your own way. And, you know, that's what we do. You know, it's really important for people to understand where they're going, why they're going, and how they can make changes. Now, I know we live in a fast-paced world. We're all busy. No one really has a great excuse, not a good enough one to accept. So we come up with these sayings like, well, life gets in the way, and I really had plans to do this, but I just don't have the tools. I watched The Voice every Tuesday and Monday nights, and last night I watched a young lady on there. This is the, I believe, the 10th season. She tried out 7 seasons and didn't make it. This is the first time she made it onto the show. Now, to me, that was persistence that allowed her to live up to what she wanted to do. Okay, so it's really, really important if you have a choice of making a decision that's going to affect your children, your family, yourself, your job. You know, it's really important to understand the pros and cons. What will happen if I do this? What won't happen if I don't do this? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves. And a lot of times we don't. It's simple. It's easier not to have to deal with the truth. You know, whether it's weight, addiction, controlling, fears, it all comes down to one thing. You got to get it out of your head, maybe on a piece of paper, in front of someone else that's qualified to help you move forward with it and help you make a choice to be better and hold you accountable for it. Now, I don't recommend you getting your spouse to do that because first off, to get go, you're going to have a few arguments because you're not going to be willing to accept the truth from someone that you feel is so close to you. And they might not deliver it in the proper way either because, you know, they're trying, but they're carrying everything they think they know about you too. So it's good to get someone that you don't know. Be able to find someone like that, you have to shop around. You don't go just buy a car off the car lot without taking a test drive. You don't go and buy food that you've never tasted before, okay, and decide that you're going to eat only that kind of food. You're going to try it out first, right? So it's really important to make sure that you got a grip on what you want to do. Now, I apologize for my voice today. I've been dealing with some allergies here and doing radio shows all week. It kind of takes my voice down. Now, my wife's excited about it, but it's not always good for radio, so I do apologize for that. We got a great guest lined up today. Okay, we have a young lady by the name of Allison Kiro out of New York and another lady by the name of Judy McName. And we're going to be talking about how to get a little bit more organized, how to just to overcome different weaknesses and gain different strengths. So for me today, I'm excited because just like everyone out there, I have struggles. And if anyone out there listening says they don't have struggles, well, you need to introduce them to themselves because they're not telling you the whole truth. We all have struggles. We all can make things better if we're willing to do it. So super excited about today's show. I'm going to take a commercial break, We're going to come back. We're going to bring up Allison Kuro and find out more about how she can help you get a little bit more organized. And, you know, being organized in your home and in your job is important, but that space between your ears that I think could always use the first bit of organization. So we're going to come back after commercial break, so stay tuned.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuff Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tuff Talk Radio Network can help you, go to TuffTalkRadioNetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right. Well, we want to give a big shout out to TexasAuthors.com. They're sponsors of our show here weekly, and there's going to be a big event in Austin, Texas, April 30th and May 1st. If you have not registered for that or you want to find out more information about that, this is a group that you know, reaches out to all the Texas authors, all the authors in Texas and outside the state of Texas as well. But there's going to be hundreds of people there. There's going to be a two-day event, a lot of presentations. And they're going to help people who have authored books, haven't authored books, or thinking about authoring books. So if you're a speaker or an author, if you're a speaker and an author driving around with a box of books in the trunk of your car, this is an opportunity for you to learn how to do better with that process. Just like everything else, folks, you got to learn what's available so you can make better decisions and be more successful. So my first guest is a young lady by the name of Allison Kuro. She grew up with two different organizational styles being modeled to her. One parent was precision neat, while the other was a pack rat. Well, that probably describes a lot of us in one way or another. Allison, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Tony. I'm so excited to be here.
That's my pleasure. So what I like to do is find out a little bit about my guest before we move forward. Now, I mentioned that you're in New York. What part of New York and where are you from originally?
Well, I grew up in Vermont, and I now live in Brooklyn, New York, in Bay Ridge. So right near the Verrazano Bridge, for anyone who knows New York.
It's a great place. It's a great place. Crossed that bridge a few times. Anyway, you said that it says that you grew up with two different organizational styles modeled by your parents. One was a neat freak, I guess, and the other one was kind of a pack rat. So I'm accused of saving things forever, and my wife is that lady that at the end of the week, if the house isn't clean a certain way, she cannot rest. So I think we have a lot of that around us all the time. But what I want to talk to you about, Allison, is what brought you to becoming, you know, an organizer? What brought you to recognizing these things? What was the journey that you went on that allowed all this to come front to you and say, hey, I need to help others with this?
Well, I mean, it's been sort of a long trip. When I was a kid myself, I mean, I sort of was much more in tune with, you know, the pack rat parent versus the precision meat parent. And I, you know, I had a lot of stuff in my room. But when I look back on especially a photo of my room when I was in ninth grade, what I look at is me seeing a lot of stuff in that space that I didn't even really like. I just didn't know that I could make that decision of, no, I don't like that, and yes, I do. And one of the things that happened was that one of my aunts gave me a figurine of a clown, and because I really wasn't given the tools to, say, figure out whether or not I liked it, I ended up with, like, 30 or 40 clowns in my bedroom by the time I was 15, and I was like, but I hate clowns. So, you know, I realized at some point that I did start needing to make decisions on, you know, what do I have here and why? And it wasn't until I got into my 20s I started getting a lot cleaner in my space, because by that point it was truly my space, and I was the one who got to make decisions on what I was buying and what I wasn't buying and all that other stuff. And so I found it a little bit easier to keep things neat and tidy. But it was really about also creating systems that makes life easier for me. I don't want to make my life harder for myself, and I found that if I set up certain systems and then just kept them in place, it really made life a lot easier, and I didn't have to think about the stuff that I don't really want to be thinking about, like, oh, where did I put my car keys? They were just there 2 seconds ago. And when I reached, I think, probably 30, I had been working in finance, and I really decided that I wanted to go out on my own, and I wanted to start my own business. And an organizer approached me and said, this is what we do. This is what we're doing. I think you'd be good at it. And I started doing it. And then I've been doing it for about 10 years, and I got really, really sick. And it was during that illness where I really went through, and for the first time, rather than going, okay, well, how much space do I have here? I just said, you know, I don't care if I have the space for it or not. And in fact, I really didn't have much of a wardrobe at the time I decided to do this, because I had lost so much weight, most of my clothing just didn't fit any longer. But I really just decided to dedicate it to, do I like it? Do I need it? Do I use it? And I don't care what the reasons are, except for, do I like it? Do I need it? Do I use it? I'm not going to allow that ego to come in and say, oh, but you haven't worn it enough, or, oh, but, you know, all those old buts that get you from, that prevent you from doing what you really want to do. And I allowed myself the time and the space to get rid of literally everything in my home that I didn't like, need, or use. And that included everything from my clothing to books to even photographs, which I had never even tackled before. And afterwards, I noticed a profound difference in how I felt and how I viewed my home. All of a sudden, all I was seeing were things that I liked, and all I was wearing were clothing that I really liked, that fit, that I was excited to wear, and, you know, looked good on me. And I was noticing that I was starting to feel happier internally, because I had finally created a space where all I was seeing was happy, positive items. And that, in turn, started showing up in how I felt about me and my environment. And then I started going, well, wait, if I take that same process that I use to get rid of all that kind of clutter, I think I can keep doing it to make start making small self-love based decisions in everything else in my life. And that's what I started doing. And it just made the whole process so much easier, because decision making is tough. You know, your ego gets involved, lack, guilt, fear, shame all can get involved. And all of a sudden you're making wrong decisions for yourself because of something else getting involved that it takes you down a road where you don't really want to be. Or you've just gotten so out of touch with your own feelings that you don't even know what you like and don't like anymore. But when you use this process, all of a sudden things start showing up that you do like, and the decision-making process allows you to get so in touch with yourself and your feelings that you can start making decisions very quickly with a very firm understanding of how you feel about the situation, and you don't second guess yourself anymore. So even more space gets opened up when you stop thinking back and going, did I make the right decision? Did I make the right decision or not? You know, and driving yourself nuts with that. And it just, it really changed everything for me, even though I've been doing it for 10 years, and created a new space and a new life where I could start showing up in a better way. And I just think the process is easy, it's simple, and it's really about being aware of what you have and how you feel about it, and then deciding what you want to do with it.
That is, excuse me, interesting, because you mentioned that you had an illness. And I have found, in my own personal experience, as well as a lot of people that I interview, sometimes when a threatening situation happens, the light goes on, and we decide to make changes. And then we kind of look back at that illness that we were maybe agitated about having, and almost becoming thankful because it brought you to the place you were supposed to be all along. Did you find that happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the day I was diagnosed and the doctor looked at me and said, go on disability, I cried on the way home on the subway, not because I thought this is the end of my life, but I thought this is the end of my life as I know it, and I didn't like it much anyway, but this is the beginning of me just becoming who I truly deserve to be. And I knew it was a gift and not a punishment.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah. When you meet someone, you know, we talked before the show about some different things, but when you meet a client and they come along, how do you determine how or if you can help them? Because a lot of people out there claim to be able to help everybody, and I don't always feel that true. What is your take on that, and how do you decide whether or not you can work with someone or not?
Well, you can very easily see what they're saying and what their actions are, because a lot of times it's, oh, let me get that to you, and then all of a sudden you're waiting for the information and they never send it to you, or they don't provide to you the information that you need to be able to do the job well. I was just going to try and help out a family member and sell a couple of items for this person, and they wouldn't send me the photograph, and then when they finally did, they wouldn't provide to me the information I needed to do so successfully, and I just was thinking, well, this is sabotage. I don't know if you're trying to sabotage me or you or both of us, but either way, you clearly don't want to do this, even though you're saying you do. And so I gently and lovingly said, I'm unable to do this. I will not be successful because I am lacking in this information. So we're not going to be able to move ahead. And a lot of times it's the people who want to hire me and they go, I'm tired, I don't have any time, and I want you to do it all for me. And when they say that, I say, well, then I'm not a good client. Then you're not a good client for me, because this is me helping you learn new skills that are going to change your life for the better and that you can use for the rest of your life. And if you can't even show up and make a decision on the things that you've already bought in your life and you have in your life, you're not going to show up for anything else. And if I do it for you, you're going to have no idea what you have, you're going to have no idea where anything is, and you've taken absolutely no responsibility, and therefore no change can ever happen by me taking responsibility for your stuff and your choices that you yourself have to make. I am your guide, and I am your support system, but I cannot and will not do it for you. No good ever comes of it, and when I used to do that, I would walk away feeling exhausted, and I would also see clients, actually, many times I would walk in maybe a week later, and the mess would be back or even worse than it was to begin with, because they were not ready for the change themselves, or they just didn't want it, and they couldn't admit it to themselves.
Now, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs have to go to the spot in their business where they have to say no and turn down money. And, you know, as we all know, an entrepreneur sometimes has more month than money. So being able to do that is a step in maturity in the entrepreneurial world. What was the thing that made you realize that it was your only way out to do that?
Well, I used to take on those kinds of clients, and a lot of the times they would get triggered, and that emotion would then get unleashed on me. And right before I got sick, I was trying to help a woman organize her office so that she could shut it down. And I watched this woman sabotage anything and everything that she possibly could. And it made me so sad, because this woman had one heck of an accomplished career. I mean, she was a very well-known lawyer. She had personal friends who literally sit on the Supreme Court, and she just sabotaged the whole thing. And it was so unpleasant that I think I was sick. I started getting sick towards the end of it, and then I just completely collapsed at the end of it. And I thought, you know what? This isn't worth it for me to take on this kind of energy, nor was that successful to me, even though I got what was done, because it was just me trying to unsabotage her sabotage. And it just was not a win-win situation. And it wasn't worth the money to take down my emotional well-being or my physical well-being. And Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I have to go, okay, well, if I take this, you know, I can pay my rent, or if I don't take it, I'm going to actually have to then think of it as, if I don't take this, I'm going to allow the space for somebody to show up who wants to be here and who I can help. Because what I've learned is that like attracts like. If I keep taking on those clients who really don't want to get helped, only more of them show up. But if I wait and keep focused on the clients that I know who are out there who I can help, they start showing up instead of the ones who don't really want the help.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like you've taken the whole bag of information upstairs in your head. You dumped it all out on the table and you organized it.
Yeah,
okay.
And then
so
how
I'm
do
sure
I feel
that,
about it?
Right, and you do that with clients, but... How do you keep them in line? Do you follow them around their job? Do you stay on the phone with them once a week? Is it an email? Tell me that process. Someone wants to work with you. They're going to connect with you. You're going to have an assessment call. Find out if they're a fit, if you can help them or not. And I love that part, by the way, because if you're transparent and honest, they're in store for a better opportunity. And so once that takes place, walk us through the steps so if people listen and say, hey, I probably could use that, but I don't know if I have the time or the, you know, the ability or whatever it is. Walk us through that.
Okay. So, first of all, everyone has the ability to get and stay organized. It's literally just learning how to get in touch with how you truly feel about something. And once you know what a positive yes is versus a negative no is, it's very easy to make a decision. There's no real difficult secret. In fact, what I always suggest is in organizing, keep it simple, and that's the only way you'll be able to keep it up. Because the harder you make it for yourself, the worst time you're going to have trying to keep up a very simple system. But what I do is I work with my clients on phone or on Skype because I really feel that if I go in, I end up really robbing them of the process of learning how to get and stay organized for themselves. The more they do it themselves, the more that they learn the process and it becomes second nature, so they don't have to keep thinking about it. It just becomes a, you know what, I don't like that anymore, and I get it out, instead of a, gee, how do I really feel about that shirt that I've had forever? And so what I do is I have them take a picture of the problem area, and we have a discussion prior to, you know, what's going on. I want to also get a feeling of, you know, some of the struggles that you're dealing with, some of the barriers that you've come up across when you've tried to get organized. And then I also want to know, what do you want your space to look and feel like at the end? And then, you know, each person is different, and each person has a different organizational skill, or not skill, but type that they've sort of gotten themselves into. And so you have to work with how they're working already, and then start eliminating the things that aren't working with for them, and then start building up the things that do work for them, and then keep them on that system so that over and over again, no matter what category in their home that they're tackling, and we go by category. So it's going to be, you know, clothing and then papers and then, you know, kitchen stuff. So little by little, you're seeing progress, progress, progress. And then we take it, it depends on what their time schedule is, and it also depends on how ready and able they are to let things go. So it really depends on if you're someone who really has a hard time letting things go and making decisions at all. And that's usually, you know, if you're getting to the point where it's really cluttered and you're bordering on hoarding, or you are a hoarder, you're going to have a difficult time letting things go and making decisions. But if you've just struggled with a little bit of clutter and you're like, you know what, I know in my heart I'm ready, I just want to let this go, I just don't know the skills on how to get and stay organized, and I need somebody to guide me on that, then we can go really, really quickly. So a lot of it depends on the person and their willingness to let go, to learn a simple system, and then to take the time to actually do it. Because a lot of the stuff, I'm just going on the, you know, when we have a session, it's more the, you're not really taking any action during the session. I'm just giving you the, okay, here's how you get past the barriers, and here's the steps you take to do this. But then on your own, I want you to take steps and the time to then get organized and then come back to me and go, okay, here's what worked, here's what didn't work, how can I get through this?
Okay, so I'm on your website, ACKorganizing.com, and I'm looking on here, and let me repeat it again, ACKorganizing.com. It says that you work with, you're an organization coach, and you, if you do it in person in Brooklyn and Manhattan area, and also corporate and business clients as well. So when people say that they're a professional organizer, the first thing comes to mind is, can you come and clean out my closet? And could you help me organize my office? And if I'm understanding this correctly, you do that type of service, but first you assess them to find out what's keeping them from, because if you go there and do it, it could become a daily, monthly job where you become their maid. But I'm assuming that you sit down with them and figure out what's making them keep it like that, and then following up with them to find out the benefit of keeping it organized. Am I on track with that?
Well, yeah, and I actually have to go back on my website, because recently I've come to the conclusion that I don't think it's in anybody's best interest for me to go unless I'm actually just teaching a course to a company on how to get and stay organized, because, again, you know, you go in, you do it once, and there's really no change unless they're able to keep that up. But instead of going in, and a lot of times when you go into somebody's house, they are so just going, oh, my God, I'm going to be judged. I don't know what this person thinks. And they sort of like, they get so overwhelmed with everything that's going on, and there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of information I'm teaching you at once, that once I'm gone, it's sometimes hard for that person to upkeep it, because it's sort of like, I just got blasted with so much information, I don't remember everything that was said. Whereas when I do it over phone and Skype, we're only going to be talking for, you know, about an hour or so, and then the rest of it is you doing it on your own, so that you keep building up that skill. And the more you do it, the more you're going to learn the skill, the more it's going to become innate, and the easier it becomes for you to set up a system that works for you, versus me coming in one time and making a mass transformation that may be so quick for certain people that they can't keep up with it. They can't hold that new space. You know, it's like somebody who goes and does this rapid diet and then 2 months later gains all the weight back. Well, because you didn't allow yourself the space to get used to your new self, your new life, and your new body, and you're uncomfortable, so you literally self-sabotage. And that can happen, too, with organizing if it's done too quickly. So when you do it at a pace that works for you, and I'm guiding you and I'm supporting you, but I'm not there doing it with you or for you, you're really going to learn it a lot better. And also, I've just found that, you know, I waste a lot of time traveling in New York. So unless I'm going to go and speak at a company for a day and really give them the advice, I don't feel like I'm giving them what they need and I'm not getting it back. So I'm really kind of eliminating the in-home process so that I can give more to clients, you know, on the phone, and have them learn that process and that decision-making process for themselves, because I think that's a gift that you're going to have for the rest of your life that's going to just open up your world. Because once you know the difference of I like this versus I don't like this, and you can make that decision firmly, just that's when you start on the path to, you know, creating the life you've always wanted. And that's the gift that I want to share and give to every client that I work with.
So I want to ask you a question about, I understand the traveling part. I live in, you know, New York's a big city, and I live in Houston. It's I guess the fourth biggest city. It's not as big as New York, but it takes an hour to get to a lot of places, not because of anything but traffic, and, you know, it's such a large area. So it does consume a lot of your time, and it seems as though once you get out of your routine, the next thing you know, you lost the day. So when you go out and look for groups, so for instance, I use meetup.com a lot, and, you know, I would assume, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that moms, you know, with small babies are overwhelmed. Most of women would be embarrassed for you to come into their house, like you said, because they'd be thinking you're judging them. Have you ever thought about going up to meetup.com and looking for mommy groups and women's groups in your area within a 5-mile radius, And I asked them, reach out to them, ask the leader if you can come and speak to their group or at least go attend and see if it's a fit for your group, because that's a huge market of word spreading to the next person that goes there. So
yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you ever use Meetup.
Yeah. I haven't in a while because I'm still actually trying to get over the illness that pretty much left me stuck at home and in bed. So, as I get stronger, I can go out and give my energy. But I'm a very sensitive person, and so when I go out to other people's homes and in other people's spaces and into crowds, that can suck my energy away very, very quickly unless I'm very careful about it. So I'm always very hesitant to make sure that where I'm going to end up in an energetic situation where I feel stronger afterwards, not completely, not having my energy to be sucked away. So for me, it's about making the right decision of, is this group, you know, are they really interested? Can I make a change? Can I make a difference? Because that to me is a win-win situation. Versus going into certain situations where you feel like you've been set up to fail of, I don't think, you know, and I've had that for clients who hire me almost with the objective of, I know you're not going to be worth my time or money, so let's go prove that point right now. And I don't want to work with those clients because, you know, they're energy suckers. So, again, for any groups or anything that I get involved in, I always want to make sure that it's going to be a win-win situation of people who really want to affect change in their lives, and that I can share that information so that they can go home and then create something new within their own lives. But a lot of times it's also easier to either be in the corporate space so that then they can go and start doing it themselves, and maybe I'm supervising as they're sort of doing the purging process, or while they're at home so that once they get off the phone, they can go and immediately do it versus getting a boatload of information and then days or, you know, hours later trying to go and remember what I was saying. Sometimes that's a little bit more difficult.
Right, right. So do you do webinars or tell us? Seminars or anything like that?
Yeah, I have before. I'm on what's it called? ExpertWebinars.com or something, Business Expert Webinars. I have one for that, and I'm actually in the process of creating another course for another website that it's probably going to take me a couple of months to do it, but that's why I created the MP3s, because this is a way for you to listen to what would be a full session as many times as you want to, so that you can really learn the skills and go through it. And, you know, one's on clearing the emotional clutter. You know, that's the stuff that triggers you the most, and how to, you know, tackle those. One's on just trying to deal with your wardrobe, and I take you through the steps. So it's a really great way for you to get the skills and listen again and again and again without having to hire an organizer or work with someone on an ongoing basis. And, you know, it's going to save you a lot of money too. So if somebody's more of a do-it-yourselfer and they don't really want the, you know, huge support, they've definitely got that from me as well. And I write a ton of blogs on how to get and stay organized too. So there's a ton of information out there that I have of supporting information to help people if they're visual or if they're audio.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on your website, ackorganizing.com. Allison, unfortunately, we're out of time, and I do so much appreciate what you do. And, you know, you and I have a connection that I'm just going to just be very short about and say, so when I started doing internet radio 7 years ago, it was because of an illness that kept me bedridden. And since then, I've been blessed. It's been 3 years now, going on 3 years, that I'm up and running again. But I had to figure out a way to build a business from a bed, whether in the hospital or in my home. So I think that you're on to the right thing. I think that you're going to be very successful at it because you have the mindset, and I think that mindset is going to make you gain healthier every day, as it did me. So I'm excited to follow along with you and follow what you're doing and see how we could help market you some more.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate that. And part of that is because I found that I needed additional support and guidance to make sure that my mindset was stuck on focusing on the positive. And so I have somebody help me with that. She's somebody who can help me with my mind, body, and spirit. And I think that in any situation, having additional support and guidance from other people are what help you break through your own barriers and move through to the next level that you always deserve to be getting to.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're living through what you learned and you're passing it forward. I just think that's awesome. And I think that's what every one of us was put on earth for. So anyway,
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today. Tell everyone how they can connect with you.
Will do. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll bring up my second guest, a lady by the name of Judy McNain. She's a former intervention specialist, has over 17 years of working with students struggling with disabilities. So we talked about one disability where people can't get their mind straight in order to stay organized properly in every different fashion. So now we're going to take it to another level. Okay, it's a little bit deeper along the same lines. Okay, we're going to have Judy explain more about that when we come back from break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays, and I just want to give a big shout-out to Alan Boudreaux for putting the organization called TexasTXAuthors.com together. He works with all the authors in the state of Texas, and that's a big group, and also outside the state of Texas. He keeps growing. It's about, the fifth or sixth year that this is taking place. And there's going to be a big event at the end of April 30th and May 1st in Austin, Texas. So if you're interested in signing up or finding out about the 12 or 13 speakers that are going to be presenting that day or those 2 days, go to txauthors.com. If you're an author or speaker looking to be an author, this is a great opportunity for you to learn more about how to market yourself successfully as an author before or after you've already become an author. Okay, so great interview with Allison Kiro, and you can find out more about her by going to ackorganizing.com. And my second guest, as I mentioned, is a lady by the name of Judy McName, and she's a former intervention specialist. So I want to waste no more time. Judy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on here as well. Now, we talked to my first guest. She's talked about she helps people get organized in their workspace, in their home, and in their head. You know, and that's probably going to be an ongoing job for forever because I don't know if we'll ever get straight between the ears. But you take it to a different level, okay? You're working with students that are struggling with disabilities. Can I, before we jump into that, okay, I want to find out where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
Okay. I'm originally a New Jersey girl, and I do miss my Jersey Shore, but I am actually located now in the heart of America, so I'm out in the Midwest, out in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, so what part of the Jersey Shore? Because I'm from Philadelphia.
I lived up in Florham Park near Madison and the Marstown area, and then we went down to the shore at Ocean Beach, Point Pleasant, right around there. How about you?
Yeah, I spent quite a few summers in Seattle City.
Okay.
Love that area. Miss it. Here in Houston, they have a beach down at the in Galveston that, well, it just looks like the bay from New Jersey. But anyway.
Oh, really?
Let's get on. Yeah, it's a little bit. Now, if you go to Corpus.
To your first, my nephew lives down in Houston, but I've never been down to see him. So you'll have to, just describe for me because I only have the visions of Jersey in my brain.
Yeah, well, we could probably talk about New Jersey forever, but let's get to the good part of this here. It says you have a degree in education from Illinois University and a master's teaching in the state of Ohio. Implemented multiple strategies, programs, interventions that have paved the way for children's success. What brought you into that arena?
Into the intervention specialist or into what I do now?
Both.
The intervention specialist, I've had about four lives, Tony. So the first one, I taught school, but I was in a different arena. I was in the health area. And I think perhaps I learned more about the special needs and all those that were surrounding and some of my students that struggled. And I actually left teaching, went into business, and then returned to teaching. So, and now I'm an ADHD coach. So you can see I've had a lot of lives. But I think originally it was the kids that were struggling, and I wanted to know more and more about that, why I couldn't reach them effectively. And then actually after working as an intervention specialist for many years, I still had those same issues kept coming to the surface. Why were my kids not getting to class on time? Why were they forgetting their homework? Why were they doing their homework and not turning it in? And I came to find out that continued to really just bubble and bubble and bubble until I did something about it. And I've always wanted to own my own business. So I kind of put those two thoughts together. And I came out quickly, though, finding out as I went into executive function, ADHD coaching, which, by the way, includes ADD, I found out that it doesn't matter why, that it's more important how to get these kids on track. And that's really what the coaching is all about. So that's the short summary of how that all transpired, but it was over a course of many, many years.
So, it's a big discussion about kids in school, and maybe they're labeled with ADD or ADHD quickly, maybe not. Mm-hmm. Not, I don't know. Maybe parents use that as a reason because they didn't do their homework at home. I don't know. There's all kind of arguments there, right? But when you come in contact with someone that you're coaching, it says that you support ages 12 and up. What is it that you see that, I mean, can you recognize, wow, they're just bored, or maybe they do have ADHD, or, maybe they are ADD, maybe the parents just lazy. Do you notice those kind of things?
It's very difficult to see the difference as far as an observation. Hence the reason I didn't know what I didn't know when I was teaching. I remember so many times, and teachers still do this because we're not all educated as well, and a lot of this is new and upcoming research, and so it's difficult to fill our heads with so much that's out there. But, going by kids and going, get started on this, or well, what's the matter, just get to number one, looking like they're lazy. A lot of those are observations, Tony, when indeed they can be struggles in those executive functions. And for those that aren't familiar, those executive functions are basically the mental processes that we all need to get through each day. So that means the organization, like your last guest, which was very, very interesting, by the way, prioritizing, just activating and figuring out how to start something, staying focused, alert, being able to process a lot of information. Kids really struggle when they have to take notes, watch, listen at the same time. That's a lot of processes. And then you have an emotional piece that goes with it as well. So those are processes that many of us who don't struggle with any of those can get through on a day-to-day basis. We can manage our time, just like your previous guest. We can organize. We can prioritize. But many of these kids cannot. And from an observation standpoint, it's always, and I say always because it's just a shift in thinking from many, many years ago, that it went from observing and seeing it as a moral issue where parents could not take care of their kids, maybe because they were hyperactive, et cetera, to then, yes, a motivational piece and a behavior piece, when in fact it is a physical, unique brain wiring. And there are strategies that we have to put together just to help these kids get started, because it does resemble lack of motivation. It does resemble laziness. But understandably, and if we all remember when we were back in school, that kids are honest. And when you have a student who may take a little bit more time to answer a question because he can't organize it in his head or she's focused on something else, the rest of the kids tend to chime in and let them know what it looks like to them. And then that breeds frustration, lack of self-esteem, emotional problems, depression, etc. So there's so many components that go together that may be the issues that are underlying what all of us may observe as lack of motivation, laziness, et cetera.
Mm. Great point. So, you know, with that being said, do you think that there should be some type of a program for teachers to be able to recognize the difference? It just seems like there's not enough time in the day for the teachers to teach what they're supposed to teach, not what they signed up to teach. But do mm-hmm. you think that there should be some type of a workshop for teachers to go to so they can better understand their students, to better help their students?
I do, and they're out there. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't know what I didn't know when I was teaching. And if I could go back now, I would teach those kids so differently. There are workshops out there. I myself, when I got started in my business, put together 7 online modules, ADHD online modules that teachers can access. There are many of them. I'm taking some additional coursework as I continue to learn through Learner's Edge. There's many, many workshops out there, and I, too, basically market myself, not only working with kids one-on-one, but since I have that educational background, do workshops within the schools. So there's so much out there. The time is very, very difficult with teachers, and I understand that, being in those shoes at one time. But the changes and what I'm seeing with the kids that come to me, Tony, we can't wait any longer. We really can't. We've got to realize that labeling that you mentioned earlier can be a good thing when it comes to funding and things like that, but it immediately separates our children. And I'm actually been working a lot of things I learned when I was coaching, and that's the implementation of neurodiversity. It's up and coming. It's been around for about 10 years. It's a fabulous, fabulous approach of actually not dividing kids up because of their weaknesses, but looking at their strengths. So we're starting with strength-based strategies. How awesome would it be that a teacher looked at his or her roster and saw all the wonderful things that the kids could do? So even with ADHD, we get kids that have that are playful, that are spontaneous, that are creative. I haven't worked with any of them that is not intelligent, bright, and creative. And yet, we embellish that and we embrace that in certain environments, in an art class, in a science, perhaps, type of environment where we're showcasing different things. But then we take those same kids and we put them in that classroom and make them sit there and sit there and sit there. And so it's very, very difficult for them to smother and almost snuff out those creative strengths and those basically just those wonderful, wonderful things. You know, so they're comparing it, this diversity, Tony, they're comparing it with biodiversity. Being a science teacher, that's something near and dear to my heart too, but that's a whole other story. So biodiversity is us just looking out at all the living things that are out there. We have diversity all over, and we embrace that because it brings an environment that we love, whether it's a beach, whether it's a mountains, whether it's a backyard, whether it's just flowers in a garden. So we make our environment to have those strengths grow. And yet, when we have a diversity of brain wiring, whether it's ADHD or not, whatever it might be, we basically put it in the same environment and limit that growth. So
yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but time goes fast, and I got a bunch of questions for you. And
sure.
I just want to ask you, you know, when we talk about teachers and parents are teachers,
mm-hmm.
children are brutal at young ages. But just as a parent, you know, you have two or three children, they're all different, but all special in their own way. If you're an executive at a company or a manager, you know, you have a team, everyone is different. Some of them are almost laughable, but put them all together and finding their strengths could create a winning team. So what you're saying is the classroom sort of goes the same way, and that is so important because at a young age, it's very instrumental on what it does to that child's self-esteem way before they get to college.
Yep. And that's usually the first thing I have to work on with kids. They come broken. They come telling themselves and everyone else they're stupid, they're dumb, because they feel they're unable to do some of those executive function skills. They may struggle at home, the organizational piece. And like you say, kids are brutal, and the kids often tell them that. And unfortunately, as teachers, we did the same thing and still do. You know, the IEP meetings, the conferences, don't always talk about what wonderful things we do, but we often talk about where we need to fix it. So the kids hear that over and over and over again, and it just beats them down. So I'm really trying to make this whole paradigm shift towards that positive and strength building and creating environments that really, really nurture that.
So do you think that this is something that should be taught in a course on your way to becoming a teacher in college?
I do. I really do. I like that idea. And I don't know whether they do that. I will tell you that one of the things I did in the last couple of years was also a mentor for new teachers. So I was working in the school district that I used to be in Southwestern City Schools, and I worked as a mentor. And I asked these first and second year teachers, how much differentiated instruction did you get? And every single one I asked, there was no more than one class, some none. So this is our college education, and we may have one class, and within that class we talk about autism, we talk about Asperger's, we talk about ADHD, we talk about depression, and so on and so forth. All that into just maybe one semester course, but not a lot of teaching. So the teachers that are coming out are fabulous. They're engaged. They're on the same, you know, technology wavelength as the kids. They're creative, but they don't have that knowledge of those atypical brain wiring. So I totally agree with you. Great
idea. Kind of, you can compare it to going to school to be a doctor and a lawyer, except a teacher doesn't make nearly that amount of money. But the thing of it is after they get in the system, their concept of why they got there changes because now they're stuck. And, you know, after being a teacher for 5 or 10 years and, you know, going through that process, you have to look at your retirement piece of it. So there's a lot of factors that play in place that make people go numb because they can't fight their way through the fences. So
That's very true.
I got a question for you. I'm looking on your website. I want to make sure that everybody goes to your website. Well, I just moved over to the Learning Liaison. Got a great site here, okay? But ADHDCoachConnection.com. There's a lot of information here, but what I'm not seeing is a book. Where's the book? Are you writing a book?
I am writing a book. I'm actually, if you look under products, and it's ADHDCoachConnect.com.
I'm sorry.
I think that's okay. So under products, there are two fabulous books. Number one, that I was part of with the great and fabulous Lori DePauw, who's one of the wonderful, wonderful ADHD brains in our arena. But I am writing a book, and it ought to be out soon, I'm hoping, in the next month or two, based on really kind of what we talked about. I had so many kids come to me, and every single teen that I worked with talked about how different they felt from everyone else, how alone they felt. And I just kept hearing this. And I thought, oh, my gosh, these kids feel like they're the only one out there. So what I did was get many of their stories. So there's a book coming out. It's called My Little Book of Hope, and it's ADHD Inspirations and Stories by Teens, written by teens. Granted, there's some things in there by myself, especially on the neurodiversity. But these are actual stories. I didn't change anything. They're not even edited right now because I wanted the originality of the students. And it's 8 of them talking about their struggles and how they overcame them. Some have dyslexia. Some were on meds, some not on meds. But they're fabulous, heartwarming stories. And these kids were willing to share. And it's the best way I think I could figure out how to put it in another teen's hands who thinks he or she is the only one out there and realize that they're not. And that was the purpose behind it, to give that, you know, if it reaches one teen who's struggling, then it was worth every sweat and labor behind it. So I'm very excited about that.
When that book comes out, please come back to the show so we could promote it. I think that there's, you know, so much missed with our young, with our youth, you know, and as I get older, I look at my children and I sound like my father talking and my grandchildren and I sound like my grandfather talking. And, you know, that's great. But at the end of the day, well, how does that help them to be better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that you doing this, one for parents, one for teachers, and one for you to get that message out, that'll be a great marketing tool that you'll be able to use to speak to organizations around the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to spread the awareness as much as I can because there's so many new things out there and different strategies, and I just want to share it wherever I can.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking time out to visit with us today. The interviews are always too short. I want to make sure to go to ADHDCoachConnect.com, okay, and connect here and make sure that you just think about what your child looks like when they come home from school. Take a peek. Have a conversation with them. Maybe you want to get in contact with Judy so that you can help your child get through the process. I think a lot of parents don't even know what's going on because kids have two faces, one for home and one for school. So, Judy, thank you so much for your time today.
Tony, I can't thank you enough. I certainly appreciate your interest in wanting to have me on. So it's an area of we've got a lot of struggling kids, and I thank you for being part of it to help the solution.
Well, you're the rock star here. You're the one that's actually doing something about it, so I appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome. Folks, we're up against the clock. I think we've got enough time to play an exit. come back next Wednesday. Make sure to go to ADHDCoachConnect.com and also ACKOrganizing.com. Everybody have a blessed week. We'll see you next week on Workshop Wednesday.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.